It's been a joy to be here to witness this. It's been a blessed time with you this weekend, learning to know some of you more. I want to thank you for your hospitality and generosity. I was given a title found in Hebrews 13, verse 17, so if you would turn with me there. Hebrews 13, 17. The title is Being a Joy to Watch. It's not found just that way in this verse, but I think we understand how they arrived at that. Let's read verse 17 of Hebrews 13. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. That they may do it with joy, that they may watch for your souls, that they would be able to give an account with joy. I think we understand we are each individually accountable to God. But as a body, we have accountability horizontally as well. And leadership has been given a responsibility to watch for your souls, to be alert, to be on the lookout for trouble. Leadership cannot save you, cannot make a way for you to get to heaven, but they are here to help you, to assist you, to help you watch for danger. Part of the responsibility of leaders is to be watchful and to give an account. You will give an account as a person, but we will also give an account because of the position, of the role that God has given to us. Like to think a little bit about joy. A definition would be a feeling of delight, happiness, gladness, a source of pleasure, exuberance. Joy in the Old Testament is often mentioned with the defeat of the enemy, such as when the women came out of the cities to meet King Saul with tabrets and with joy. David in Psalm 51 longed to be restored to an open relationship with God, and he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Verse 12. In Matthew 2, the wise men rejoiced when they saw the star with exceeding great joy. As we learn to trust God in every area of life, and we experience answered prayer, it brings joy. Jesus said, "Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." John 16:24. Paul referred to the Philippian church as my dearly beloved and longed for my joy and crown. Philippians 4:1. I don't believe Paul was married. He counted the church as his dearly beloved and longed for. Many of us have a spouse who is our joy and crown. But as church leaders, we also want to accept the church family as our beloved. John wrote in 3 John 1:4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Many of you know the joy of obedient, submissive children. I'd like you to turn with me to Jude, a few pages over. Jude, we'll read verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. He is able. Of ourselves, we are not able, but he is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless. We know our faults, don't we? Sometimes it's discouraging to think about all our faults. But he is able to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Whose joy is it talking about? It will be a joy for Christ to do that, to present us faultless. But it will also be our joy. As our Savior presents us faultless. That will be pure joy, to be presented to God faultless. Let's go back to the text verse, Hebrews 13. There's much in here that we do not have time to explore, but it says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Obedience brings joy. When we obey promptly, willingly, and completely. Prompt obedience, willing obedience, and complete obedience. And submit yourselves. Submission is related to obedience and applies to all of us, no matter what title you might have behind your name. Submission is a part of life, part of the Christian life. We all have authorities in our lives to whom we need to submit. And as we submit cheerfully, it brings us joy and is a joy to our authorities, especially those who are watching over our souls. We all can think of authorities in our lives, watching over our bodies, watching over the workplace, watching our, well, sometimes we think we have too many authorities, too many rules, too many regulations. We'd like to find a place with a few less. We have building inspectors, food inspectors, and on it goes. But when you look around at the third world countries where they do not have these things, and the pollution, the trash, the a lot of things that we take for granted here because of the authorities that we have in our land. They're put there for the public safety, and we benefit every day because of their watchfulness. I don't know all of you, but I think most of you have all of your limbs, all of your digits, both eyes and both ears still working. Safety shields in the workplace have saved many of those. I understand 70, 80, 100 years ago, there was a lot of people with one leg or one arm, a lot more than we see today, because of the lack of safety devices. We know that God is watching, God is protecting, but it also helps to have some regulations and keeping those shields in place. How much more should we be grateful for those who are concerned about our souls? Mom and dad, brothers and sisters, Sunday school teachers, grandparents, pastors, people that are watching, praying, interceding on our behalf. People who also need prayer, but they feel a burden for you and your soul. As parents, we have given life to a never-dying soul, and we should always sense that responsibility. As teachers, pastors, we handle the Word of God, and we also should feel our responsibility as we try to explain the Word to searching hearts. When you think about some of the deceptions around us and the millions that are deceived into thinking they're going to heaven, and yet in direct disobedience to the Scripture, how many millions will someday say to God, "But my pastor said it was okay. Even the right thing to do, given my circumstances." Pastors, it's serious business. Each soul will answer to God for the deeds done in life, but those called to influential responsibility will have a greater accountability. May God give wisdom for such responsibility. As an individual, aware of God's will for me, I will be accountable to God. Many have influenced me and will answer to God for that, just as I will give an account for the influence that I have been. Am I a joy to watch for those that are watching out for me? Have those concerned for me been rewarded by my response? Or do they grieve over my choices? Have I cost them sleepless nights? Will they give an account with a heavy heart? There is another possibility. They may be able to answer God with joy. As I fulfill the first half of verse 17, there can be joy in heaven and on earth as I obey and submit. They can watch with joy. Their load can be lightened. Their steps can regain that spring when we are no trouble at all. Oh, what joy to have members whose names put a smile on our face. Someone we are glad to recommend to Bible school, to CASP, to a VS unit, to the mission board, or even to a prospective spouse. Yes, Brother so-and-so is a real blessing here at home, and I'm sure he will do well over there too. It's a blessing to be able to do that. The end of verse 17 says that if that is not the case, that is unprofitable for you. If it's you that we are discussing, and the frowns and concerned tones portray grief instead of joy, that is unprofitable for you. It is unprofitable for all the parties concerned, for the parents and pastors and authorities in your life, for the church, for the work of the kingdom, for the judge, and for your own soul. Unprofitable. On the ranch, there's a couple of options for the unprofitable cow. There's the sale barn or the meat shop. In business, we work hard to eliminate the unprofitable product or procedure. You just can't continue the good life when what you are doing is unprofitable. God's kingdom is not a business, but he does have a place for the unprofitable servant. It is not a pretty place. No one, having spent 1 minute there, wants to spend a second minute there. But we know it's not just a few minutes. That is the place that God has made for the unprofitable servant. And he does not want anyone to go there. Now is the time to obey and submit, to build and to plant. Now is when our choices are determining our destiny. Thank God for those watching for your souls. Bless them. Make their job easy. Make their job a joy, and it will be profitable for you and for them. May God bless you as we build together for eternity. Let's bow our heads for prayer.